Welcome back. You're listening to Horizons on Radio Kerry. Don Mullen, you're the CEO and founder of Hope Initiatives. What is that group?
Yeah, I have set it up, Mary, as the conduit through which I plan to deliver a number of legacy projects that I've been working on over the next 10 to 15 years, if God spares me. You know, that includes working to help Africa deliver, you know, the Great Green Wall. I'm hoping to develop a UNESCO World Heritage Site related to the 1914 Christmas Truce, which I think is one of the most extraordinary events in human history, on the first Christmas of the First World War. I have a website. My website is just simply donmullen.org, and they're all listed there.
Don, and you also have some connections to our diocese. You studied with our bishop.
I did. Bishop Ray and I were in the same spiritual year in Kiltegan, 1974-75. I always found Ray a lovely guy. I remember thinking, Ray one day will be a bishop, you know? I mean, he had a brilliant intellect. I always found him very funny as well, and very fond memories of Ray.
I was aware that you have been involved in this Great Green Wall of Africa.
The Great Green Wall of Africa, one of the reasons why I really love it is because it is an African initiative. It's coming from the very soul of Africa, and that's why it will work and why it will be a success. It originated around the same decade anyway, that Pope John Paul II went to Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso, which then Upper Volta. He made an appeal to the world. Arising out of that came the John Paul II Foundation for the Sahel. Now, the Sahel is an ecological belt that spans right across the southern end of the Sahara Desert, and it's kind of like a buffer between the Sahara and the savannas to the south. But with global warming and climate breakdown, the Sahara is creeping ever more into the Sahel, and the lands are becoming increasingly degraded. Biodiversity has been lost. Food security is also diminishing. And so an idea that came up from Thomas Sankara was to create this verdant belt going right across the continent. And he was assassinated in 1984. And so the idea died. 2005, Nigeria brought it to the African Union. In 2007, the African Union actually formally adopted it as a project. And so far, it is 18% complete. And it begins in Senegal in the west and goes right across the continent, almost 8,000 kilometers to Djibouti on the east coast. It's just extraordinary. It's going to be ranging from billions of trees as well as grasslands as well as vegetation. And the whole idea is to create, you know, green jobs, to create food security, to grow hope for future generations, given the fact that, you know, Africa actually is the youngest continent on the planet. And that population is a powder keg and unemployment the detonator, unless we actually can create hope and give them reasons for staying. You know, you think back in terms of our own great famine, the people who left at the time would never have left if there had been hope. But it was really like just horrendous situations of starvation, of disease and so on that forced them to seek a new horizon.
So getting back to the Laudato Tree project, you're looking all the time for support and for funds to carry out this work.
Yes, I'm a concept developer, and I've been looking at ways that you can engage different parts of the human family. I, like many Catholics, have been hugely, hugely impressed and inspired by Pope Francis's Laudato Si. I developed an idea at the time with the SMAs called the Laudato Tree Project, but it was too big for them. So I began to work then with young Vivian Haar, who is a young teenager who's done amazing work for ending child slavery from her base in the United States.
So have you handed this project straight over to this young woman? She's only 16 or 17, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, the idea is like a young people's movement. But we've actually got the support of Pope Francis, and Pope Francis blessed the movement of young people. He asked for support for them. And Vivian's idea was she wanted to try and grow a million trees. But when Pope Francis was actually announcing it, he said, at least a million trees. So now Vivian is hoping to try and plant or grow 7 million trees.
If people want to hear more, Don Mullen, about this particular Laudato tree project, where do they find out about it?
Well, there is a website, which is laudatotree.org.
Don, I have to say thank you very much for chatting to me this morning. You seem to be involved in amazing projects altogether, and you've given out your website as well for people to find out more about the kind of concepts you're involved in. So greatly appreciated. This sounds like a beautiful project.
It really is an audacious environmental project, but coming from the very soul of Africa.
Don Mullen, thank you very much.
Open the eyes of my heart, Michael W. Smith.
Dennis Kelleher, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons. And this morning, Dennis, we want to talk a little bit about Fratelli Tutti. Difficult language straight away. The name sounds like we're talking about sweets or something. Try and explain to people what this is, Dennis.
Good morning, Mary, and thank you. Fratelli Tutti, basically fratelli, brotherhood or fraternity. And tutti would be everybody. So Pope Francis, this encyclical, it's about the fact that we are all brothers and sisters.
And the sisters was kind of late coming to the title and caused a bit of offence, really, I would say, Dennis.
I suppose, yes, the language in it, it reminds me of when I was a youngster. We didn't really talk about humanity. We talked about men. It's kind of that older language that's used.
That's a bit surprising from Pope Francis.
It certainly is. But if you can get past the language, if you kind of get over that little problem with it, then it's a fantastic document.
It's just the finishing touches like that, even the name, to make sure that in an English-speaking country it has an English name or even an Irish name in Ireland.
I mean, if you look at the encyclicals that Pope Francis has written, they've all got names like that. Evangelii Gaudium, Laudato Si, you know, for English speakers, they don't mean a whole pile. Reading the document itself, there is just so much in it. And when I started reading it, I underlined certain passages and things like that in the book. and you go back and you just look at the same paragraph again and you say, oh, why didn't I underline that? Every time you pick it up, there's something wonderful in there, you know, that you didn't see.
Dennis, have you read all of this letter, all of this document at this point?
No. I don't think anybody could read it from start to finish in one sitting. It's something you go through slowly. You pick it up, you read maybe a chapter of it, and then you stop.
And you have found a way of studying it. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've had an awful lot of help in the studying of it. Dr. Suzanne Mulligan from Maynooth has kindly agreed to join with the Care of Creation group in St. John's, who've done a fantastic job in organising this. But Suzanne is a doctor of theology and is actually somebody I studied under as we were preparing for the diaconate. So once I heard that she was getting involved, I just had to get in there. She can translate it into plain and simple English and look at a lot of the things behind it. So yeah, on Tuesday evenings, we've had Zoom meetings where there's 40 people signed up. She'll explain for a little bit and then there'll be some questions and answers and things.
This sounds like a truly excellent idea. What kind of big things have struck you from this document?
You know, you can see the undercurrent of some of these other documents coming through. But to quote from it, God loves every man and woman with infinite love and thereby confers infinite dignity upon all humanity. We're all equal in God's eyes. The document itself translates right across the globe, you know, from Kerry to everywhere else. And I think, you know, within any society, there are inequalities.
So you're learning. The process continues.
Most definitely, yeah. Pope Francis, he's looking at this document and saying, you know, the economics of the world is very much dependent on consumption and production, which then obviously hits the environment. He's looking at migration. We've seen in a number of countries in the world, you know, where they're kind of putting up these barriers. And the US, we're talking about building a physical wall to stop migration. Whereas Francis is really saying that everybody's equal.
Reading groups are a good idea on something like this because there's a lot in it, Dennis.
Absolutely. And as I said, you know, the more you look at it, the more you find within it. The second chapter is about the Good Samaritan. But the parable only shows us one incident in his life. And the question was, well, really, was he a good person? We don't know. He might have been the worst person that ever lived, but on that particular day, he did one good thing. And the same with the people who didn't stop. It might be just the one day they didn't stop. They might have stopped 50 times the week before. We don't know. And kind of automatically, as people, we're judging based on one story we've heard. We have a lot of information, but quite often we don't have the story. We don't know the backstory on any of it. One of the messages that seems to be coming across from the document as well is that we can't change the world, but we can change the world maybe for one person, like the Good Samaritan did for that person on the road. He saved his life. Again, kind of the message in some ways within the document was that the Good Samaritan, for example, he gave ointment and he gave money and whatever. But what he really most importantly gave was time.
Deacon Dennis Keller, thanks very much for chatting to us about this morning on Horizons.
Thank you, Mary.
After the break, I continue the conversation with Donal Dore about a creed for today.